If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
We got some work to do.
This is the Advanced Scout with Tom Opperman and Matt Williamson.
Steelers coming to the season finale in Baltimore, winning two straight games, 9-7 record. The Ravens last week with a dominant win over the Dolphins clinched not only the AFC North, but also the top seed in the AFC playoffs. Matt, they've won six straight games. It's the longest in the NFL. Their plus 210 point differential is also tops in the league. Before we get to this matchup and who's going to be in, who's going to be out for Baltimore, are they clearly the best team in your eyes, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL right now?
Yes, but I do think if they played the Niners 111 times, it might be a pretty even series. Like that was, they got some bounces early in that game, some fluky interceptions, and then they just ran away with it. Purdy also played his worst. So, yes, they beat up on the Niners pretty strongly. I think those two stand alone, I guess, is my bottom line.
Now, I agree.
But they're doing some remarkable things, Baltimore, this year.
Yeah, they are scary good. I agree with you there. Those two seem to be separating from the rest of the pack in the NFL. You know, you bring the stat pack to me every week. It's published on Steelers.com. Everybody can consume it later in the week. It's got a lot of great stuff in it, but we just don't know how valuable all this information is going to be this week, Matt, because we're recording this Wednesday early afternoon. Harbaugh's probably not going to announce what he's going to do until later in the week. You don't expect them to play many of their regulars, but again, it's very up in the air at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know that they're going to play hard. I think we know that they're going to try to get out of this game as quickly as possible with as few of injuries as possible.
Right.
You wonder, you know, Steelers Ravens has its own lifeblood. It has its incredible history. Will Harbaugh be able to ignore that and really, you know, be the smart coach and think big picture and Super Bowl? My bet is he will, but who knows? It might get chippy at the end and get a little crazy.
Well, here's what I was thinking, Matt. You know, as far as, you know, players like Zay Flowers are concerned and other members of the defense, a Clowney, who knows what they're going to do, how long they're going to play, if they're going to play at all. For me, I think you can assume number 8 on offense is out. There's no reason to toy with Lamar. And then number 0 on defense, I would hold out too. I just don't think you need Roquan to be out there at all. There's nothing he's going to gain from that. You don't need him getting injured either. Like, those are the two that are at the top of my mind. Like, I would be shocked if they play a snap.
Yeah, I think they don't dress. You know what I mean?
Right.
To your point. So, to pull back curtain, we're recording this Wednesday morning. I've only seen one pseudo injury report for the Ravens. But one wrench in the plan is a lot of their depth guys that you would think would play a lot in this game are currently on the injury report. Like the guys, so if they can't go, you might have to put some starters in a little more than you think. So we'll see how that goes. I do think there are some guys like Ronnie Stanley's continually fighting an ankle for 3 years. You know, like, don't play him.
Rest him, right.
Maybe Morgan Moses, the other tackle. But can you rest two tackles?
Right.
You know, I mean, it makes it really difficult.
OBJ just left the game, the Dolphin game. Maybe he just doesn't go.
Yeah, I was thinking him and Clowney, as you mentioned. Frankly, there's no way Justin Madubuike plays in this game. I mean, that's not a household name for people. He is a absolute killer breakout defensive tackle. And to put it into context, only Watt and Nick Bosa have more quarterback hits than Madubuike this year, and he's a defensive tackle. So he's too valuable. I think him and Roquan aren't playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Kyle Hamilton probably doesn't either because
he's been injured,
important,
right.
And he's been injured. I think Humphrey's fighting something as well. So there's probably five stars that you just don't dress. But what's interesting to me is how do you handle the flow of the game? Like, I'm sure Gus Edwards, Justice Hill both dress, but I would pound Melvin Gordon into the line of scrimmage
over and over.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
you don't need the Charlie tread on those Kohler. Tires. Yeah.
Right, right. Get Charlie Kohler some touches. Maybe throw the ball to Laquon Treadwell and Tyson Wallace. You know, those type of guys. So easier said than done, but I'm sure they're going to try to shorten the game.
Now, that's a good point. You know, you would like to dress as few starters as you can and, you know, play a lot of backups, but this isn't preseason rosters. You know, you're just stuck with maybe having a starter have to play. Like, maybe a Marcus Williams has to be in the back of that defense for the majority of this game, and you'd like to not have him out there, but you're running out of bodies. So that's definitely an interesting aspect to keep an eye on with it comes to the Ravens. Before we get
real quick, Tom, I bet Tyler Linderbaum plays. Like, I think he's one of the best centers in the league, but he's young and you got to put five capable offensive linemen out.
He's young and he's healthy. So
yeah,
you might as well.
He's going to get 2 weeks. He's going to get a week off the next week anyway, you know?
Quick look at the series history that I'm sure everybody is well aware of between these two teams before we get into the matchup. This outstanding rivalry started in 1996 when the Ravens joined the NFL. Since then, Pittsburgh leads the series 34-25, including four playoff matchups. In the playoffs, the Steelers have lost just once against Baltimore. Pittsburgh won six of the first seven meetings. They've also won six of the last seven meetings, including the most recent matchup earlier this year, a 17-10 victory in Week 5. Steelers have swept Baltimore in two of the past three seasons and look to make that three of the past four. Tomlin is 20-16 against the Ravens, while Harbaugh is 15-19 against the Steelers. That kind of dominance for that long of a stretch is so rare for this rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost hard to comprehend. You know, like typing that is like, boy, yeah,
the Ravens haven't been bad,
so
Matt.
Equal.
You could argue they've been better than the Steelers over that stretch.
Yeah, and some of it's just been timing, like. End of the year, Lamar's not in there, this type of game. I mean, some of those things. And I wouldn't say, boy, the Steelers are clearly the more dominant organization over that stretch, but they do play the Ravens and the division really tight. I mean, both, you know, the Steelers have a better division record than Baltimore, and clearly Baltimore's the superior team.
Let's start on the defensive side of the ball for the Ravens. Only the Browns are better than Baltimore's 4.6 yards per play allowed, but over the Ravens' last 3 weeks, they've allowed 5.8 yards per play, Matt. So, like, what's going on there? And one other trend that I've noticed earlier this year, I think when we were doing this podcast around week five and then weeks after, Ravens around the top three, top four in rush defense. They're 13th in rush defense right now in the NFL. Is something going wrong there for them? And don't get me wrong, that's good news for the Steelers. I would like a less stiff running test against the Ravens than you're used to.
Yeah, I think some of it, without question, is they've played unbelievably difficult teams lately.
You know, I mean, good at running the football, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners, the Dolphins, I mean, they've played the elite teams in the league of late. And that's just, you know, that's the way it works, of course. I also think that they love the play in nickel, and I think you can get some bigger bodies on them and, you know, when they're playing with the lead, they don't mind so much. You know, they lead the league in sacks. So
keep running the ball and let the clock run. Fights. Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't been in many dogfights, you know, but so I don't know if their run defense is good, great, or average. I know it's not terrible, but I mean, nothing about this team's terrible.
I was just going to say we can nitpick the run defense all we want and find some hole on the defense, but the facts are they allow just 16.4 points per game. That's the best in the NFL. They're also first in sacks. They're first in takeaways. They're second in the league in red zone scoring and touchdown percentage allowed. They're fourth in total yards allowed per game. They're sixth in passing yards per game, and they allowed the third best completion percentage allowed. They're elite. They're an elite defense, and I remember us talking before the season, Matt, and we're saying maybe that's the weakness for this Ravens team. Maybe that defensive side of the ball is what holds them back.
Oh, yeah.
It's been great.
It's been great. I mean, I was so foolish to say right before the season started that the eight units in the AFC North, four defenses, four offenses, I was most concerned about Baltimore's defense. I mean, just flat out wrong. Extremely well coached. Their defensive coordinator's on superstar path to be a head guy. Guys like Clowney and Van Noy have been better here than any stop in their career. And then how about this little nugget? I mean, they faced the Dolphins, who are first in offensive points per game.
Right.
They faced the Niners, who are third, and the Lions, who are fifth. They couldn't face the second team because that's Baltimore.
They face them in practice every week.
They face them in practice every week. And those three games, they won 127-44. I mean, it's just one thing after another.
They're dominating great teams.
And,
you know, with Roquan being out, you know, I don't want to talk about him too long, but mm-hmm. what a phenomenal player. And, you know, when really you think is. Of Baltimore, I mean, you think of Pittsburgh, you think of linebackers too, but you really think of that middle linebacker in Baltimore, that Ray Lewis. And earlier this year, I saw a piece on ESPN with Lewis watching film with Roquan and kind of, you know, sharing some wisdom with him. And you hate to admit this as a Steelers fan, but, and I'm not going to say Roquan's going to be Ray Lewis, but they've kind of found that similar archetype of a player in the middle of that defense now.
Yes. And if people don't know the timeline, it's kind of interesting because the Bears traded their second round pick, which became Joey Porter Jr., to the Steelers for Chase Claypool, and then traded the Steelers pick to, wait, I got this screwed up. Then they traded another second round pick that I think they got from Carolina or whatever in this, like the same week for Roquan Smith. I mean, or they traded, I got that all screwed up. They traded for Claypool, they traded away Roquan, both for second round picks.
Right.
You'd much rather have Roquan. You know what I mean? It's the bottom line. Yeah.
Yeah, Roquan is outstanding. You really would hope that he's not
it's
playing
tremendous.
This week.
Yeah.
It would help the Steelers a lot if he doesn't play. That's yeah. secondary. You know, Kyle Hamilton is great but banged up, probably won't play. Marlon Humphrey's great but mm-hmm. banged up, probably won't play. Brandon Stevens is okay, won't play probably because he's banged up. Marcus Williams is a good safety. He might just be forced to play. But they're going to have their hands full with George Pickens, who, Matt, has 326 receiving yards over the past 2 weeks and is averaging 29.6 yards per catch over his last two with Rudolph as the starting quarterback. And then this is just outstanding. This puts into perspective how good of a season Pickens is having, even if it's kind of off the radar or has been until the past couple of weeks. Of all wide receivers with at least 50 targets this season, Pickens ranks second in routes run per team dropback, fourth in yards per target, second in yards per reception, and sixth in yards after the catch per reception. He's 12th right now in the league with a chance to get into the top 10 as far as just total receiving yards is concerned. Mm-hmm. With the bad quarterback play all year for the Steelers, save the past couple of weeks, really, a really remarkable season statistically from Pickens.
Without question. And, you know, we do this every week. And if people go back, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, there were some of the bullet points around Pickens were, well, he's only caught 6 passes in his last 3 games. Or, you know, like there was down stretches too. So just imagine if he could keep this or, you know, a high portion of it going for a sustained stretch in, you know, a better situation.
Ravens have 15 different defenders with a sack this season. Justin Madubuike leads the way with 13 coming from that defensive tackle spot, which is so valuable. Followed by Jadeveon Clowney. Really one of the better years from Clowney, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
He's been outstanding for them. Kyle Van Noy comes off his couch, and then he has 8 sacks for the Ravens, too. And only 2 defenses blitz at a higher rate than Baltimore. So they're still blitzing just as much. Wink Martindale's not there anymore, and they're still just a blitz-heavy team on the defensive side of the ball. One last note on Roquan, who will potentially be out. Him and Patrick Queen have missed just a combined 53 snaps this season. So whether it's Queen kind of stepping up a little bit or whether it's Deshaun Phillips and the rookie Trenton Simpson playing a lot more, a lot of inexperience at that linebacker spot if Queen's not out there.
Yeah, and they're both – Queen is definitely – you talked up Roquan. Queen's having his best season, but he's definitely Robin to Smith's Batman.
Turning our attention to the Ravens' offensive side of the ball, 6 yards per play is only behind the Niners and Dolphins, and over the past 3 games, they sit at 6.6 yards per play. They averaged 8.9 yards per play against Miami as they ran it up on them. For the season, Baltimore's 49.4 pass rate is lowest in the league and 2 full percentage points less than the 31st ranked offense in this regard. I think a narrative around Lamar is he's passing the ball a lot better this year, Matt. But the Ravens' mm-hmm. offense is not necessarily, you know, throwing the ball like they're Joe Burrow and the Bengals or the Vikings with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and this is kind of like our previous conversation. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with we're winning by 30 in the fourth quarter.
Just shut
you know,
it down,
we're
going to
run, shut it down, beat you up, bring in Ricard, an extra tight end, and pound you into the ground. But Lamar's been tremendous from the pocket. I mean, we're not going to see him, but he's going to win his second MVP.
I was just going to ask you, and that. You think that's pretty much a done deal? Yeah.
I don't know who could catch him at this point, assuming he puts nothing else on tape. I think it's his, which he's the second youngest to win 2 ever, only behind Jim Brown. You know, like he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no question about it. And I mean, the takes from his draft class of, oh, he's a running back. Oh, he can never play quarterback. I mean, they just get worse. Unbelievably still keep getting worse and worse and worse as we're further removed from that moment. And he continues to establish himself in the NFL. Over the past two games, Jackson had thrown for 573 yards and six touchdowns. He's thrown just seven interceptions all season in 457 pass attempts. It took him just 15 games this year to set a new career high in passing attempts, 56 more passing attempts than he has had in a prior season. But it won't be Jackson. I know it hasn't been official, but it would just be one of the most foolish things I could ever see if they would start him. So Tyler Huntley's going to get the start. He started against the Steelers last year in Week 17. 21 passes attempted, completing 14 for 130 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Huntley's not terrible, but I kind of remember, you know, your sentiments for him last year. You know, you think he was even a little bit overrated in a lot of people's eyes as far as quality backup he is.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to change their offense drastically. He's the same style as Lamar. That's great. But he throws a lot of things horizontally, not a real high degree of difficulty of throws. And he takes a massive amount of sacks. So I think that's a key here, too, is assuming there's some backup linemen in there, I think you should be able to sack him a lot.
This is the best receiving core that he's had, Lamar. I mean, in his tenure in Baltimore. Zay Flowers leads the Ravens in end zone targets as well as targets on third and fourth downs. He's seeing 42% of his targets coming off of play action. He's been battling a calf injury, but he still ran a route on just 54% of the dropbacks last week. I mean, there it is again, Matt, like just a nagging injury right. for a big time contributor on this offense. But I mean, if you don't play Zay Flowers and you're not playing OBJ, I mean, you're left with Bateman and then who else? So, I mean, he might just have to go by default.
Maybe. And maybe you shut him down as much as possible, break glass in case you need him, you know, that type of thing. Just play your healthy guys as much as possible.
Do you expect Bateman to kind of be the main receiver on Saturday?
I would think so. And Aguilar actually has been around the block as a, you know,
he could fill in a
situation
for a week,
like this. Yeah, yeah. Maybe they use likely a little bit heavily, but he's important now too with Mark Andrews out.
That's exactly where I was going next, Matt. Mark Andrews gets injured earlier in the season. I'm doing podcasts with people. I'm saying, you know what? Maybe kick the tires on Zach Ertz out of Arizona. Just get somebody in here. They had him in-house this entire time. Likely, I'm not going to say he's better than Andrews, but I think the stats say that he's playing better than Andrews was this year.
His stats are awesome. I mean, I don't know if I'd go there, but I mean, his stats are awesome. He's a very talented player, young. He's just been blocked. I mean, he'd have been starting since day one on most teams.
So you've been high on his ability from the jump, really. It's just logjammed by an all-time great tight end right now in the NFL.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Again, 23 years old, and I mean, that play on fourth down, the one-handed catch, and then taking it to the end zone. Maybe I got a little too excited saying he's been better this year than Andrews, but the fact it remains
really
that
good.
This hole isn't a hole anymore. And in fact, it's starting to become a bit of a weapon that they're going to.
100%. They're a very tight end friendly offense, and they have two very good ones.
And then as far as the running game is concerned, like we said, it would probably be in their best interest to just run the tires off of Melvin Gordon. Don't really give Justice Hill and Gus Edwards that much of a workload. But what another year without J.K. Dobbins for this team, I just don't think that's going to work out for them. Injuries is just going to derail that career. But Gus Edwards and Justice Hill have been a pretty okay duo for them, haven't they?
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, they block well.
Okay, fine is as far as you'd go, probably.
Yeah, and Keaton Mitchell was a really exciting player that he lost for the season. They may use a high pick on a running back, you know.
Could you see them using Huntley, running the ball a lot, and a lot of design runs in this game? Just to, you know, like we said, keep the clock moving, keep the game moving on schedule? Because you don't really care
possibly,
if Huntley gets hurt.
Yeah, I guess that makes some sense. I mean, because they do have Cunningham that they picked up from the Patriots. You know, they plucked him off the practice squad, Malik Cunningham. Maybe they even get him involved just to see what he does. I mean, they kind of know what Huntley is. Maybe they'd be interested in seeing some of him.
Yeah, and Cunningham, same kind of player as Lamar Jackson as far as style. So yeah it could be a good backup for them in years to come, a cheaper one too. Key matchups to highlight before we get out of here. We just talked about them, but Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely versus the Steelers.
He
safety.
May not even play much.
He might not play.
Shut him down. Right.
But again, Matt, I mean, you got to play somebody. So it would be a very tough matchup if he were to play for this MASH unit at safety for the Steelers. Still not sure if Minka's going to be able to play in this game.
Yeah, 100%. So the matchups were hard for me to do. I did put Likely there and, you know, move ahead here. I put Justin Madubuke, but the more I'm thinking about
it,
they better not let him play. They shouldn't let him play. He's too valuable. So coming up with key matchups is really difficult.
Well, I'd still say it's pretty key for the offensive line to get that same push they did in Seattle against Baltimore.
Yeah, great way of putting it.
You know, create those lanes for Najee and Jaylen Warren and to have a successful running game. Again, Steelers and Ravens, they kick off 4:30 on Saturday. Steelers get a win, then you get to kick back and hope that the Titans beat the Jags or the Dolphins beat the Bills on Sunday. For Matt Williamson, I'm Tom Opperman. Thanks, as always, for giving us a listen. If the Steelers win and get in the playoffs, we'll be back again next week to break down the wild card matchup. If not, it has been a blast doing this with you all year, Matt.
And no, no doubt.
I'm sure talk to the people next year when the season starts in 2024. But let's keep our fingers crossed for the Steelers getting at least one more game on the season. And we'll be back again next week if that happens on the Advanced Scout.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.